What a day we have here. We are told to expect a shutdown that begins tomorrow.
This is absolutely needless, completely unnecessary, and wholly because of Senate Democrats trying to shut down the government, holding the entire government hostage for a completely unrelated issue that doesn't even have a deadline right now.
It's really almost like an amateur hour, because this should have been done. We could have come to a place where we have come to a budget agreement protecting our dreamers, which is part of that.
Hello, TrumpCast listeners. Jason here, producer of the show, jumping into the host seat for the day. And I just want to put a timestamp right here to let you know that things are in flux. As of this recording, it's 5:45 p.m. on Friday, January 19th. And last night, Thursday night, that is, the House passed a short-term extension that would fund the government through mid-February.
On this, the yeas are 230, the nays are 197. The motion is adopted without objection.
But that proposal is being met with objections from Senate Democrats and Senate Republicans unwilling to pass a short-term continuing resolution.
Are you still hard no on voting for this CR?
I'm not going to vote for a 30-day CR. What the House sent over is unacceptable to me. 30 days of more chaos, forget it.
The Democrats in the Senate are opposing a bill that they don't oppose. They're for clean CRs. They're for the extension to the CHIP program.
And on Friday morning, Senator Graham and Mick Mulvaney were up early to make their case. And with them, their colleagues joined to take sides and point fingers. The Democrats saying, blame the Republicans. They're the ones controlling both the legislative and executive branches. The Republicans saying, blame the Democrats. They're the ones unwilling to vote on a bill that, on paper, is something they would agree on.
Why would they filibuster government funding and shut down vital programs for Americans? Because we have not yet agreed on the best way to settle an unrelated issue.
I think the Democrats are hoping that the American people won't know that they had their fingerprints all over this.
But as the afternoon crept along, the tenor of the conversation changed, with Trump inviting Senator Chuck Schumer to join him for a private meeting, though both of their chiefs of staff are present. And the details of that meeting are yet to be known, but Schumer did have this to say.
In a long and detailed meeting, we discussed all of the major outstanding issues. We made some progress, but we still have a good number of disagreements.
So here to talk about the latest on where things stand is Slate's man on the Hill. It's Jim Newell. Hey, Jim, thanks for joining me.
Hey, happy to.
So before we jumped into this conversation, you were talking about how you are sitting around the Senate offices. What is the environment in there? What are people waiting for?
People are waiting for the Senate to actually vote, which is something, Democrats wanted to vote last night. Republicans said, no, we'll restart in the morning. We'll restart at 11 o'clock. So I got here, right in time at 11 o'clock. And of course, now they're just sort of doing open speeches on the floor. I think that before they start voting on even on the House bill, even though they know that's going to fail, I think they want to know what the plan is going to be after that before they start moving to the floor.
I noted a bit at the top of the show that the tenor around the shutdown changed from earlier this morning to this afternoon. Earlier, I thought both sides were digging in for the blame game, but does it feel different to you now?
It does feel a little bit different. It seemed last night that Republicans were only going to take up this House bill that Democrats were rejecting. And it seemed like, Mitch McConnell was saying, if Democrats want to vote this down, then fine, they can live with the shutdown. Senate Democrats didn't seem to be blinking on their opposition to that House bill either. So, and also no one was talking about, on the Republican side, bringing up alternatives today in case that one fails. Today was a little bit different because some of the Republican leaders started talking about, well, if this one fails, we'll get it on the record and then we'll see what happens next. Senator Chuck Schumer went over to the White House for a meeting. I guess we're going to talk a little bit more about that. And the House, which had been, talking big game about flying out of town so they would just leave the Senate with, what they had right now, they've stopped and they're all still in town. So they're, if the Senate passes something different, the House could come back in and vote on that.
Right. So we're talking, it's about 4:30 p.m. on Friday. And I'm just trying to figure out what is on the table right now. What is the actual thing on the table that the House has presented and that the Senate are mulling over, and that the Senate is mulling over?
Sure. So the bill that the House passed last night, it's a short-term government funding bill. It would go about 30 days, and I think to February 16th. And it also includes a six-year reauthorization of the Children's Health Insurance Program, which has been lapsed for a few months. And also it delays a few Obamacare taxes for a year or two. So, you know, Republicans designed this pretty cleverly because they knew that this would be a difficult short-term bill to get through because people are getting more and more tired of passing short-term bills while they try to create a larger budget deal. So they attached this in thinking that this could either get Democratic votes, or if it didn't get Democratic votes, you know, they could then punish them by saying they vote against children's health care and they hate children and all that. So it just hasn't really seemed to work for Democrats, and that's because Democrats still want they want a resolution on the larger budget deal, and the key to unlocking that is they first have to reach a solution on DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, because they're not going to deal on the budget until they get a resolution on that.
And within this holdup, there are a couple of key players. Like, who is ultimately going to end up deciding, like, what deal gets cut around midnight?
Well, I think that'll be done between, you know, the leaders on either side and their deputies, Dick Durbin and John Cornyn. They'll decide. There are also some other senators who, like Jerry Moran from Kansas, is a Republican. He was the first one to introduce yesterday this idea of doing a very short-term continuing resolution that would just fund the government for 4 or 5 days, and that's something that some Democrats have signed on to, some Republicans, you know, as a fallback plan in case this House bill goes down. That way, I mean, and it's, you know, it's a little complicated when Democrats are presenting this because they're like, we don't want to vote for another month-long thing, but we will vote for a four-day thing. They think that if they can say, we'll vote for funding for 4 days, that will force a resolution on all of the other issues that you know, have been bottlenecking up in Congress.
So I want to talk a little bit more about this Chuck Schumer meeting from this afternoon. What, if anything, do we know about it? And I wonder, do you think the Republicans were worried about just Chuck Schumer sitting one-on-one with the president because of past history, let's say?
Yeah, they were extremely worried about it. I mean, this, you know, sort of came out of the blue. Apparently the White House, you know, asked for Chuck Schumer to come over, and Chuck Schumer can be a pretty persuasive deal maker. And, you know, they have this sort of New York chemistry where they can banter a little bit and maybe come out with something. And also Trump has this penchant for just doing whatever the last guy he talked to said to do. So Hill Republicans are getting very nervous about that, you know, whether Trump was just going to agree to something that Schumer put out there. But it does not seem like Schumer and his team are back in the Capitol now. It does not seem like they reached any deal there. Just, you know, they sort of gave this boilerplate statement saying, we had good discussions, there are some differences still, but we're working on it. One of those sort of things. So, you know, there was no quick resolution there, but it's, you know, it's still hard to tell what's going on behind the scenes that came out of that.
And what is the kind of feeling you're getting around there? I hate putting percentage things on anything, but, like, what are you feeling right now, most likely outcome?
Oh, I hate doing this. You know, I would have said people were locked in for a shutdown last night. It seems like Mitch McConnell especially seemed to think that this would go over pretty badly for the Democrats. I think a couple of things have happened. One is that Democrats are going to filibuster this House bill, but there are already some Republicans who aren't going to vote for it anyway. So even though to break a filibuster, you would need 60 votes. If it can't even get 50 votes, then that's a problem for Republicans because it shows that even if Democrats didn't filibuster this, it wouldn't have passed. So, you know, they can't just clearly blame it on Democrats for shutting down the government. So I think that's a concern they have and, you know, another reason to try to come up with a deal. And also, there have been a couple of polls that came out today, and these are all fluid and, you know, people are still just even reading up on what's going on with the shutdown. But, you know, I think there was an ABC Washington Post poll and then CNN, and they both showed Republicans getting more of the blame.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit more about this because now this is all politics, but, like, turning to the spin side of the conversation, like how each side is going to spin ultimately what comes out of this. How effective do you think both the Democrats' messaging on it and the Republicans' messaging on it has been to this point?
I've got to say, I don't know if it's broken through yet, but I do feel like Republicans have been preparing more efficiently for this. They've had a pretty good run up. They, you know, they're correct when they say that Democrats don't actually really have many objections to the bill that the House passed itself. You know, they want to fund CHIP. They don't really care for some of these Obamacare taxes either. So they designed it well, and they could say Democrats are only blocking this because of stuff that is not in it, that is maybe extraneous to funding the government. So they're presenting that pretty well, and I think that you know, part of the key, too, is making Democrats who are up for re-election in Trump-won states feel a lot of pressure. So you have, you know, I think it's sort of coarse, but Trump, you know, Mitch McConnell is saying this is a government shutdown from the Democrats over illegal immigration, which is probably not going to play very well for those Democrats in,
right,
you know, running in Montana or whatever.
These are the Joe Manchins and Bill Nelsons of the world?
Yeah,
kind of
yeah, yeah. Well, maybe, I mean, I think, you know, the states especially they're looking at are Montana with John Tester, Joe Donnelly in Indiana, Claire McCaskill in Missouri, Joe Manchin in West Virginia. Like, those are the ones they're really trying to put the screws on. So I think Republicans have been pretty efficient about getting that out. Democrats are still, you know, they're saying that, well, how can it be a Democratic shutdown if Republicans control the House, the Senate, and the White House? Which may be a pretty effective point. I mean, it sort of ignores the existence of the filibuster, where the Senate Democrats can still block things from moving forward. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. It could be a situation where I've never seen a shutdown threat where each side seems to think they have a pretty good argument. In 2013, when the Republicans shut it down because they wanted to defund Obamacare, which was never going to happen under Barack Obama and his signature piece of legislation,
yeah,
it's pretty clear who caused that. This one is something where it could be a real split in public opinion as it goes on, which would sort of portend it a long shutdown. Because, I mean, if it's not clear that anyone's losing, then there you go.
Right. And I also want to talk about, like, the Republicans that are bucking their own party a little bit on this stuff. So this is like the Lindsey Grahams and Jeff Flakes and Mike Lee and Rand Pauls of the world. What is the sentiment within the GOP on those people in this current proposal that's on the table?
So, I mean, first thing, no one in Congress at all likes doing a short-term bill. They just do it to keep the government funded while they try to work on a broader budget bill. Among the Republicans in the Senate who are not supporting this, it's a little bit different by the person. Rand Paul isn't going to vote for it because Rand Paul doesn't like government spending.
Right.
You know, Mike Lee from Utah, he says he's never voted for CR just because he thinks it's bad government. Lindsey Graham is sort of with the Democrats in a point that the Democrats are trying to make, which is that, you know, you need to get the DACA deal in place because that's the only way to unlock the rest of the negotiations. And he's a big defense spending guy. And, you know, that's big defense spending boost is being held up, you know, as long as they're not getting a budget through. And then Jeff Flake is, as of now, planning to vote no. His is a little more personal. He was promised when he voted for the tax bill that he would have a seat at the table with the immigration, you know, with the DACA bill, and that it would be brought up before the end of January. He co-wrote a DACA bill with Lindsey Graham and Dick Durbin in that bipartisan group. That's the one that Trump rejected. So I think he feels a little bit like, well, they didn't uphold their end of the bargain, so I'm not going to go along with this.
I have one last question for you, and this is for all the people out there that have missed a very educational episode of HBO's Veep. What happens during a shutdown?
So it's not as dramatic as maybe really it's technically a partial lapse in appropriation. So if you're non-essential government, then you're furloughed. Although usually when government resumes, they give you back pay, which is not to say it's not annoying anyway. But, you know, defense and national security and homeland security, and I think really, I don't know the percentage, but a lot of the government still works. The things that get the most focus are, you know, they shut down national parks and national monuments. So, you know, a million pool photographers go down to the Lincoln Memorial or something and take photos of them putting yellow tape around it.
Right.
So, I mean, that gets so much attention. It's a pain because if you're a business and you work with an agency or something, then you can't really do that anymore. But it's just something where there's a lot of theatrics pulled off during them, and it's definitely inconvenient. It costs the government a lot even to just prepare for a possible shutdown. But it doesn't mean that someone just shuts off the light in Washington and everyone, you know, freezes in place or something until the money starts pouring in again.
And to what degree do you see the administration or Congress and the White House being actually ready for a shutdown?
The White House, I don't think they have any idea, you know, what it means. They're in their, you know, just starting their second year just about. So I'm not quite sure that they're prepared to manage it. Congress seems to be quite used to it, given their history with it. but I don't know if Trump, you know, is prepared to deal with it.
Yeah, is he prepared to bring out his own trash? That's my real question.
Yeah, I mean, he had to cancel his flight to Mar-a-Lago today, which I know is probably quite painful for
brutal.
Him. So
brutal. Okay, thanks so much, Jim, for taking some time to talk to me.
Yeah, of course.
We'll be right back.
Mitch McConnell does not have 60 votes. And if he goes forward tonight at 10 o'clock, as they understand he will lose.
There's no deal right now. With everything that they've been trying to do over the course of the last hour appears to have failed. Senator John Cornyn, the second-ranked Republican, coming out telling reporters flat out, no deal.
As we've just had reported, there is no plan B, and there is no plan for what to do after the shutdown goes into effect.
At about 10:15 on Friday night, the Senate convened for a vote to fund the government. As things got on their way, you can hear Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer whisper to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
Are you speaking, Mitch? I'm going to speak after.
No, I'm not.
And if you didn't catch that, Chuck asked Mitch if he was going to speak after the vote, to which Mitch responded, no, I'm not, in a defeated, sort of annoyed manner. And then the vote began.
Senators voting in the affirmative. Alexander, Bozeman, Burr, Cassidy.
As the votes are read aloud, Senator Schumer doesn't move from his chair, surrounded by aides. Senator McConnell, however, walks around the room talking to his colleagues Graham and Flake. And Marco Rubio, well, it's not really clear what he's doing.
Senators voting in the negative. Baldwin, Blumenthal, Booker, Brown, Cantwell.
After about 15 minutes of voting, Senate Democrats ultimately ended up blocking the spending bill, leaving the vote 50-48 with McCain absent and McConnell's vote still pending, likely for procedural reasons. Then a flurry of discussions open up in the chamber, and at about 11 p.m., Senators McConnell and Schumer leave the floor to talk together. By the time they return, it's clear that something's up. Schumer is again talking to his aides, and McConnell has rejoined Flake and Graham, as well as Senators Portman and Corker on the floor. And only a few minutes later, Chuck is back in his chair, and McConnell returns to his lectern. A gaggle of senators form around Schumer, and the conversations pick up intensity. Everyone's leaning in.
The moment seems to have passed without a sense of moment in the Senate chamber, as it will affect some elements, some employees of the federal government, starting right now, but it is not, as an immediate matter, affecting these lawmakers who are still in the middle of it.
Just a few minutes before the official shutdown, the White House Press Secretary's Office released a memo. To wit, Senate Democrats own the Schumer shutdown, and it goes on, this is the behavior of obstructionist losers, not legislators. Yet things are still in motion on the floor, and 15 minutes into the shutdown, the chamber goes quiet.
This vote, the yeas are 50, and the nays are 49. And the motion is not agreed. And three-fifths of the senators, duly chosen and sworn, not having voted in the affirmative, the motion is not agreed to.
And with that, the vote closes, no deal.
Yeah, I just want to call to the attention of my colleagues a statement of the, a part of the statement of a White House press secretary tonight, presumably on behalf of the administration, simply says, we will not negotiate the status of unlawful immigrants while Democrats hold our lawful citizens hostage over their reckless demands.
After about 5 minutes from McConnell, Schumer takes the mic.
Speaker Ryan and Leader McConnell, without the commitment of the president, would not agree to accept anything either. What happened to the President Trump, who asked us to come up with a deal and promised that he'd take heat for it? What happened to that president? He backed off at the first sign of pressure.
I want to give a special thanks to Mary Wilson over at The Gist for some of her help this evening. Thank you, Mary. And thanks to the whole TrumpCast team, Jacob Weisberg, Virginia Heffernan, Jamel Bowie, June Thomas, and so many more. I don't get to say thanks enough. And as always, be sure to follow TrumpCast on Twitter to get all the latest on the show and live events and stories we're reading, all of it. I'm Jason DeLeon, and thanks for listening to the show.